Hey, you want to see something really scary?
What's your favorite scary movie?
I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
What's blood for, if not for shedding?
Welcome to Fright Night.
Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty.
And I'm Chad.
This week's episode is Phantasm 3,
Lord of the Dead.
Oh,
I was going to jump in there, but that's fine.
Phantasm. The delusion of a disordered mind. A phantom. A spirit. A ghost. For most of his life, a young man has been pursued by a sinister force. Now he must learn the secret of the ultimate evil.
Now it is time for you to come back to me.
Already dead. Phantasm 3 coming soon.
You should have just jumped in. We could have just done it together.
That's fine. It's spontaneous. We don't know what we're doing sometimes.
let's not throw that out there for the audience.
Oh yeah, okay. Sorry. We meant to do that.
Yeah, that was totally planned.
Now this is the 30th anniversary of Phantasm 3. It was released in a few theaters in May of 1994. It didn't come out fully on video until the next year, but we're counting it as its 30th anniversary because people saw it in theaters 30 years ago this month.
All right, let's travel back in time.
It's also the 45th anniversary of the original Phantasm.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
My favorite films.
I know, you're so excited to cover all these.
Don Cazzarelli.
Yes.
He's the best. I just love him.
I do. Between the Beastmaster, John dies at the end. Come on.
Okay, Beastmaster. I don't have a problem with the Phantasm films. I do. I was trying to, and it didn't work out. I caught myself in the lie. So, Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead. Now, who is the Lord?
Title pushed onto them because they decided. It was originally just supposed to be Phantasm 3, but they were like, no, you can't do that because it's been so long since Phantasm 2, no one remembers it. So call it Phantasm Lord of the Dead. That way people won't think it's a third part.
But it is a third part. Also, they added Phantasm 3 is still in there.
Also, well, they added that later.
Oh, they added that. But even if it's called Phantasm Lord of the Dead, what does that tell me? That doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Not...
It's like the executive that always says, like, hey, I know this is the 7th Star Trek movie, but we need to make this accessible to people that have never watched Star Trek TV shows or movies before. Make it to where they can figure this out. And you're like, those people aren't coming to see this movie, I guarantee you.
So this film has a lot of flashbacks to the original.
Yeah.
We have the original cast. Reggie's back. He never left. He's in all the films.
Reggie.
Reggie's Reggie. A. Michael Baldwin.
The original Michael from the original Phantasm is back. He was briefly replaced in part two, but I think it's James LeGros who replaced him in part two, which was, again, a studio thing that they forced him to do. But this time, the original Mike is back, also played by an actor named Michael. They really stretched the character names on this one.
I mean, it's just so much easier.
It is, probably. Bill Thornberry's back as Jody.
Jody.
Yes, Jody, a.k.a. his Mike's brother and a possible silver ball.
And Kevin Connors as Tim, because like everything in the 80s and 90s, you always have to have the kid sidekick.
And Home Alone had been very popular a few years before, so we had to feature a character who was...
Kevin McAllister.
Yep, I was going to say Home Alone, but you got it.
Yeah.
So we had to have this, and I got to say, he did a pretty good job of fixing his house up to be murder-friendly, because I love his murder clown that he has set up.
Yeah.
It's like a trapeze murder clown, and it just covered in knives. Like, it's amazing.
He was a pretty badass kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be when, like, your whole town has been murdered, and there's a fucking alien going around, like...
doing all these things.
Which he doesn't know it's an alien, but... So, for those of us, myself not included, but for those of the audience who has never seen Phantasm, can you just... And since you're a mega fan, can you just throw a quick synopsis of Phantasm? Just, okay. This is what it's about.
The original, the brothers, Michael and Jody, and their friend Reggie, the ice cream man, stumble into the fact that the mortuary in the town is being used by the tall man to... He's murdering people and doing strange things with the body, sending them off to other planets. He's doing creepy things. The original one is where the only one where the tall man changes shape and changes into a woman to seduce people and drag them out into the cemetery and then murder them. But he doesn't do that in any of the others. I don't know why they dropped that after part one. Maybe they thought it was weird to have the guys making out with the girl who later turned out to be Angus Scrimm. Maybe that was something they got from the studio of don't do that anymore.
It was ahead of its time because that movie came out like in what, 1978 or 79. Some shit? 79. So yeah, that was ahead of the game.
But, and that the first one ended with them, they thought they had defeated the tall man, only to have him pop up the end of the movie and deliver his famous line of, boy, then the movie ended.
And then from every film after that, that is the only thing that Angus Scrimm says.
Yeah, pretty much. He says a few things here and there. But
he says that's his tagline.
Yeah, that's his 1-2 Freddy's coming for you kind of thing that they've got going for him. And the second one picked up years later with Reggie and Michael trying to track down the tall man and kill him, going all across the country. And at the end of that one, they were attacked by the tall man in a hearse that they were driving away in, because the girl that Reggie had picked up, they thought was a really cool girl, turned out to be a zombie that was working for the tall man.
Oh, was she? Oh, is that what it was? But she was telepathic. Like, wasn't she?
No, that was the girl Reggie picked up, the ice cream guy.
Oh, yeah.
The one that pulls
her
hair off at the end.
So that leads us into one of the first things. So Reggie, who was the ice cream man in the first movie, man, he is just the, like, most stereotypical man ever. Yeah. He's like, what? Every chick I get with tries to kill me and is evil? Who cares about that? Because I get to have sex with them first. Wink. Yeah. And that's worth the risk. Which is insane. He does not fucking learn his lesson.
He's a very 70s kind of guy that was just like, I came here to kill monsters and have sex.
He has a ponytail, but he's bald on the top.
Yes.
Which, why? He loves his guitar.
Yeah.
He has he makes a four-barrel shotgun.
Yes, one of the greatest weapons in horror movie history.
It is, actually.
Is the quadruple-barrel shotgun. Sawed off at an angle for maximum spread of the pellets.
Yeah, that shit comes in fucking handy so
Someone
many times.
Thought about that a lot.
They sure did.
Reggie, I feel like, is kind of the... every guy can... They made Reggie where it's like every guy can relate to him. He's not buff. He's not in shape. He's got a beer gut. He's balding. He's got a ponytail. He's trying way too hard. But somehow, and like you said, in the movies, he always ends up... He gets laid. He kills monsters. He does cool things. But he is the least likely looking guy to do these things if you just looked at him and said, no, he's not doing that.
He's what, and everyone actually in this film and in all of the films, is what we have discussed, that after 1995, 1996, it was like you had to have the beautiful people. The beautiful people were in the films. Before then, just like in pornos, it was just regular ass looking people. Just Joe Schmo from the street. Nothing particularly beautiful or handsome about the person. Just a regular looking person.
That's why actors like Gene Hackman, Dennis, or Dustin Hoffman, you know, those guys are not good looking guys, but they became famous and leading men in dozens of movies.
Yeah. Because, and great actors.
Yeah, great actors, because it was about their acting talent, not about their looks.
Yeah. And now we live in this world where it's only about the looks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, this is, all of these are actually indie films. If you've never seen a Don Coscarelli film, low budget films, but they don't look low budget. Not that they look like, you know, Marvel. Obviously, this is not the time frame where anything's going to look like that, but they look pretty decent.
Yeah.
The effects are great. I mean, that's the one thing I love. The thing I don't like about the films is that it's inconsistent and...
Yeah, there's that.
It's like all over the place. Like, they didn't really know. This is like someone sat down and was like, I'm gonna write movies 1 through 5 all in one shot. It was just like, here I am, I'm coming as I go, and I'm just gonna write them, and then we'll see where the chips fall.
Yeah, the continuity is not strong. In some ways it is, and then other things they kind of play fast and loose with. Obviously, you know, they changed Michael's in the one, but...
They should have called this one Phantasm 3 Revelations.
Ooh, there you go.
There you go. Let's redo... I'm renaming this film, and that's what the film... Because there is a revelation at the end of the film. So, we have, you know, it ended with, like, a cliffhanger. Kind of, like, very episodically. Like, oh, shit. You know, you're going to have to stay tuned to when we come back in the season 3 months later. Shad said there's a, you know, what is it called? Like a chase scene in a hearse. You know, it was a Halloween 3 kind of ending.
Yeah.
The girl was actually in on it the whole time. The sexy girl, she was one of the zombie chicks.
And the nice girl that Michael met by telepathically through, well, they were both in like different mental hospitals. She is written out so quick in this movie, it's unbelievable. She pops back up in this only to have her face immediately eaten off. That way you can't recognize her, as the head they're using is not the girl from there, and therefore they don't have to pay her likeness, I think.
Nope, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and then she just gets her decapitated head carried around by the tall man for a little bit, which, you know, okay, that's kind of cool.
And the tall man, what are the little, they look like little Ewoks.
They call them lurkers in this.
Okay, lurkers. So... The lurkers, who, if you've seen Star Wars, you know what an Ewok looks like. Looks just like that.
More like a Jawa.
Oh, Jawa. Thank you. Oh, my God. I just...
Yeah, yes. You lost but all your nerd credibility just then.
I know. I did. Shit. But they're small is what... I was going more for the stature, not for the cloaked aspect of it.
These are the cloaked guys. They're more like the Jawas.
They're mini Jawas.
I think, you know, since this came out in 79, I think they might have been a little bit like, let's just make some guys that look like that. Those could be evil and scary.
That's very true. But, I mean, Dungeons and Dragons has a character like that. Yeah. He-Man has a character like that, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of them that show up, little tiny cloaked people.
Or beings. We're going to call them beings because they have magical powers.
Okay.
And shit, so they're not like normal people. They're out, and Reggie, man. Now, Reggie... He has a fucking, whatchamacallit, he's gonna blow up everybody.
Yeah, himself. He's out using the 4-barrel shotgun to take out these lurkers, and when they surround him, when they're like, we're gonna take Michael away, and I like how they manage, like, for the first part, if they keep Michael's face kind of towards the ground, that way you don't realize right away it's a different guy playing Michael from the set from the last movie. And then he just gets the old hand grenade out and does the thing about, like, I'll blow us all up before I let you have him, tall man. And he's like, yeah, it's okay. I'll wait. I'll just come back and get him later.
And then I felt like he waited one day because it didn't feel like that much time. They showed no time had passed. Like, there was no season change. There was no dialogue of like, Mike, we've been in this hospital for X amount of time. It was like the next day. He didn't have to wait long. That's why he was not worried about it. He was like, I'ma see you in 2 days, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, done. So the whole hospital, there's a lot of things that happen in this movie that's, if you've seen enough horror movies, you're like, oh, this happened in this movie. But this movie came out in 94. So some of these things reminded me of like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like the whole like nurse is not really the nurse. She's in on it.
Kind of like Dead and Buried. They had the similar thing with a nurse that was in on it.
Yeah, which that nurse needed to be fired because she tells Mike, She's like fucking Zelda Rubinstein. She's like, walk into the light. You see the light. Walk into the light.
We were like, the light is warm. Go into it.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
And even like, you know, Michael's like in his coma or whatever. And he's like, all right. He starts walking into it. And that's when he sees his brother, Jody, who's like, yeah, Michael, don't go into the light yet. You're not ready to die yet. Just walk away from the light.
Yeah, Jody, I can't with Jody. What actual help is Jody in this movie? Okay, he does have his moments, but I'm like,
he shows up to be exposition guy.
Yeah, it's just pointless. And what was the whole, we're not gonna go step by step of this movie. I just need to know, you're a fan. I'm just like, hey, I'm here for the ride. I need to know from your perspective, like, what is the point of these films? Like, what is the point?
One and two were a little more, like, together, I think. But I think the problem with these things is they've always been, like, written and rewritten and changed studios. Studios have had their hand in it, like, messing with it and all that. I feel like, and two, like, they were never written, like, all out at one time. You know, he wrote the first one, and it was nearly 10 years later when he did the second one. And then it's 6 years later for the third one. And then 4 years later for the fourth one. And then the final fifth one came out, I think, 18 years after the last one.
Ooh, and that one is just real bad.
Yeah, and I feel like they had talked about for a long time there was someone trying to reboot these movies. Roger Avery, Quentin Tarantino's writing partner for, like, Pulp Fiction and a lot of that. He wanted to reboot these, and he had, like, a plan for, like, a three or four movie series. And then they had talked about doing a TV series at different points and that. And I feel like this would be really good if someone sat down and plotted out like three movies or three seasons of a TV show and had it really tight with what was going on and kept the continuity going.
Yeah, because what we need to know is, why is the tall man here? Why is he going and just eradicating these small towns? Obviously, he's using these bodies to make the sentinels, which are the flying little silver balls.
Yeah, this one.
And the lurkers.
Yeah, this one you discover that when he takes the bodies, he does something to them to shrink them down and make them into the lurkers. And then he takes the brain out of
which the lobotomizes
them. Yeah. Well, he takes the whole brain and just puts it inside, like, when it's shrunk down to small enough to fit inside one of the silver spears. Which in this one, for the first time, they call sentinels.
Yeah.
And then he's using the sentinels, and then he has, for one evil purpose, and he's got the lurkers out doing other things. In this one, they bring back the grave diggers, too, which is the guys who go out and dig up the bodies in the cemetery and bring him back to the mortuary for the tall man to do his thing on. And they just look like tall dudes in gas masks and coveralls.
Which we never find out, like, what's underneath that mask.
Yeah, what's going on with them? We don't really get to the bottom of that.
I mean, it is creepy, nevertheless, but it's still like, what is underneath there? Is that just another, like, someone else that he's controlling? And he has a lot of power to be controlling all of these things at the same time.
Yeah.
But, spoiler alert, but not really, because this movie is 30 years old. Mike.
Yes.
Mike is, and I know you're not going to remember this, but I think the whole thing with Mike is that the tall man is prepping him to be the next tall man.
Yeah. he's one of the race of people that the tall man is, because he has something very similar. Like in this one, for the first time, you see when he's hurt, he bleeds the like yellow blood like the tall man does.
Yeah.
So he's obviously the same race of people as the tall man.
But they don't explain how the fuck that came to be.
Yeah.
Because when you first see them in the first movie, he's a little kid, he's a human, he got a brother, a family, he living out in the Midwest or whatever.
Now, their parents were dead.
Yeah, the parents were dead, but I'm saying...
So, technically, it could have been that maybe the parents were tall man people. They fled to Earth.
Okay, I see
this. They fled to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brother doesn't know about it either, because they fled before he was born. And he doesn't know, or when he was young enough that he doesn't remember anything. Maybe that's why the brother, Jody, when his brain is put inside of the little spear, he's one of the only ones you see that he's able to kind of fight the tall man a little bit and, you know, pull away and, you know, go contact Jody and talk to him and tell him some things. Maybe that's why, because his brain's a little different because he's not human.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that explains the telepathy that Mike had in the second movie, where he was talking to the woman, you know, across country and all that. Maybe that's because he's not a human.
Okay, fine.
Now, this is never said in the movie. This is just my theory.
Yeah, but...
So if you're listening, Don Cascarelli, I will help you write this.
I'm dead. Oh, my God. But yes. I see that. I agree with that, because it makes... It just logically makes more sense. These movies are super loved. I mean, the first one is like, wow, big fan. Like,
we saw when we went to see Ravager in the theaters, when they did that midnight showing of it at the Enzian, people showed up with models of the car. People showed up with the Hemi Cuda models. People showed up with, you know, in costumes, people doing all this.
Yeah, they love this movie. The movie's fine. I don't know if it's one of those because I've seen it so many times. It is very slow paced, though, that first movie. It's not...
Yeah.
Not that it needs to be action-packed, but it does have a very just, like, laid-back... I mean, I understand it's the 70s, but it is a very laid-back, like, horror film. The floating balls are very cool. I like the kills. You know, there's a lot of creepy... Look, you have like a 7-foot, I don't know exactly, the actor who plays the tall man, his name is Angus Scrimm. I don't know how tall.
Crazily enough, he was only 6 feet tall.
Okay, well, that's still pretty tall. But
it is tall, but they put lifts in his shoes, shot him from different angles. And they also, a trick in the first movie they did that they've talked about before was they put him in a suit that was too small for him. So it looked like he was... Like stretching out of the suit and kind of breaking at the seams. They put him in a little bit of a too small suit.
That's very cool.
Yeah, one of those just some little tricks to make him look taller.
Yeah, well, he's menacing looking and very creepy. And, you know, the voice. He does a fantastic job. Like,
yeah,
he's great. Everyone does a, you know, fine job.
He might be the only guy, the only, like, horror villain... to come back for every installment of it to be played by the same guy. Because they haven't done any remakes of this. Because now Robert Englund came back for all the initial, Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
But so part of the franchise, he wasn't in every single one. So we can't, he's not
He
counted.
Wasn't in every single one of them, even
You're
though
right.
they did a reboot.
Michael Myers, everyone's different. Freddy, everyone's different.
There's Jason.
Oh, Chucky's the same.
Chucky's been Brad Dourif from the very beginning, and
yeah,
the tall man.
If we're
going
to count that, because he is a doll, it's not the actor himself playing it, but it is his voice.
It's his voice.
So that's the closest anyone is going to get to him.
Those two have been the consistent, like, voice and face of the franchises that they represent since the beginning. You know, like, you know, Robert Englund's changed when they did the remake. He wasn't there for that. Jason was a different guy tons of times. I mean, Kane Hodder is the most identified with it just because he kind of, you know, pushed to take over that role. But the rest of them, like Michael Myers, apart from Nick Castle, like,
everybody was Michael Myers. Deborah Hill was Michael Myers at one point.
Yeah, so everybody's been Michael Myers. Yeah, like you said, literally, so... For Angus Scrimm to have been the tall man through 5 movies and through what, let's see, from 1979 to 2016 when the last one came out.
Shit. That's crazy.
So for nearly 40 years, he was the tall man.
He was. He was very tall. So
that's kind of a, that's kind of impressive.
It is impressive.
And this movie, these movies too, they've kept the same, except for part two where they replaced Michael, they've had the same people back over and over again.
That's true. Oh, because the whole history of Phantasm 2 is that they pulled the Evil Dead 2, so it's one of those where it's just like another...
Evil Dead 3.
Evil Dead 3.
Yeah, Army of Darkness is owned by a different place, so that's why you never see clips of it in the different things.
Well, no, and in regard to Evil Dead 2, where it's like the same thing as Evil Dead 1 because of the whole rights thing.
Yeah.
So, but nevertheless, yes. So, I part 2... like I said, the same thing. You have the telepathic girl. We've seen this chick in Friday the 13th, this like character, you know, where she has like telepathic powers. I do like the connection that you made between Mike having the powers because he is not of this world.
Yeah.
Which would explain why Angus Grimm wants him so hard. Like, the tall man is just after this, like, kid, like, big time from part two on.
Well, really, yeah, from part one even, he was kind of after him. And maybe he was, well, wasn't as much then. Yeah. Not as much then because he was kind of after everybody in that town. But, you know, but yeah, I really do think that's why he's been always been after him like that. It's because he needs him. He's one of the people that got away.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, you can't let the survivor.
And either he wants to bring him back and, you know, bring them back to their planet to do whatever, or he brings to bring him back and you're going to be another tall man.
I think he just wanted, I think the tall man wanted to retire. He was tired. And he was like, you know what, I've been going to all these little towns, these small towns. Every town I see a rocking chair in the porch. I want to sit on that rocking chair and I just want to chill out. I'm tired of driving this hearse, hanging out with these nunchucks, like, you know, these brainless idiots, you know, floating around and doing this whole brain process. He needed a break. His 401k was ready from whatever planet he was from. And he was like, you know what? Let's pass it on to the young. And let the young guy take over because I'm done.
Or since they, you know, imply in a lot of these that there's other dimensions and different things, maybe Michael is the tall man from another dimension. Maybe he's the younger version of him. Maybe in 100 years or whatever, that's what Michael's going to look like. Because who knows how old the tall man is. We see him get murdered numerous times in the course of the series and come back. All of them come back, so maybe there's different versions of him.
Reggie's not at all related to them, right?
No.
Okay. Well, that's kind of weird because Reggie has that capability of opening and closing the portals.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he had a little something in him, too. And I feel like the tall man has had countless opportunities to kill him. And he never does. Yeah. He tries, but he never does. I don't know. I think after he did the deed with him, he was like, can't kill him because I might want to transform into some other, you know, chick so I can get with Reggie again because Reggie apparently...
No, he never... Reggie was never one of the ones that... Reggie never had sex with any of the tall man in his girl form.
I thought that he had sex with the first girl that was in the graveyard. Oh, no, that was another guy.
That was a different guy, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, so no, it's not that... I think the tall man...
Oh,
no.
Well, how about... Oh, okay, I was going to say the girl from the second part. She has some tall man in her, no?
She was kind of a zombie thing.
But she was infected, though.
She was infected with something, but we don't know what.
Damn. Again, Reggie's penis? Clear. You think it just fell off? Like, now, let's talk about the scandalosity of this film. Like,
oh, yes. They introduced, besides the young kid character...
Tim,
played by Kevin Connors. We introduced another character.
Why they named him Tim? Tiny Tim. Why they did that to him?
They introduced another new character in this one.
Rocky.
Rocky, played by Gloria Lynn Henry. And she is ex-Army. And she's out just trying to figure out what happened to all the people in her town. I guess she came back, saw everybody was murdered. So her and her friend go out to find out what's going on. They go to the mortuary. They, of course, the only weapon they bring is nunchucks.
Because,
like you do.
Like you do. And let me tell you, that was another thing in these 80s and 90s movies. It's like we have another connection to Nightmare on Elm Street. The fucking chick from Dream Master, her brother was all about the nunchucks or whatever. And then she absorbed his, like, capability or his power, which was, like, using all those. And she was all about the nunchucks.
Yeah, somebody had the nunchucks or somebody had the sai, you know, and they were always doing something like that. They could twirl it around and do cool stuff with it.
What was it with the nunchucks, dude?
I still, like I said, The Simpsons ruined it for me forever when they had them go to the weapons museum and they were like, nunchucks, cool, but useless. After that, I was like, yep, that is exactly right. Because they're not, you can't hit somebody from far away with them. You can't really throw them. They're only good if you get really close to someone. And I mean, yeah, you can hit somebody hard with them, but I feel like you could just have a stick and do the same thing. You just had a heavy wooden stick that was the same length as the two nunchucks. Couldn't you just hit them with that and it would be the same thing?
I guess.
They're like, hey, I've got a staff. Let's cut it in half and put a chain in the middle of it. And then you can whirl it around and hit people with it. Well, couldn't I just hit people with it when it was in one piece? Yeah, I guess you could if you just want to be boring.
You know what? Maybe that's what saved Rocky from having his grimy little hands, Reggie, all over her, was the nunchucks. Because, man, Reggie tried to get laid by this chick so hard. And let me tell you, every film, Reggie's just filled with innuendos. Like, he's just spewing them
left and right. He is not subtle. Like, he just looks at Rocky in this one at one point and says, hey, you ever try vanilla?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, oh, yeah, you're not even subtle. Reggie would definitely have to go take some HR lessons today.
Oh, no, he would definitely, yes.
I feel like he's working at the ice cream, he's running his ice cream truck, because that's a job you can do without anyone else around to be sexually harassed by Reggie.
They were like, we can't have him with the normal public. He can only sell ice cream to children and elderly people, because other than that, he's not going to be, you know, attracted or try to hit on those people. But in a store, forget about it. A lady comes in, boom.
Reggie's just going to be like, I've got an ice cream cone for you. And it's like, well, you're fired, Reggie.
Yeah, fired. Instantaneously fired. Also love how no one has a job in any of these movies, because I don't know how they're living, how they're eating. Well, actually, in this one, they get real creative. They use the crematorium as like a furnace, like as a stove.
Yeah, they're like, they're cooking their can, their
the
giant
can of beans.
The giant can of beans. I love how like they're eating them with a knife.
That's how fucking hardcore Tim was, yo. He was like, I'm gonna eat this bean.
Like, look, I understand
one by
you guys
one
are,
with the tip of my knife.
I understand you guys are on the road. You don't have a lot of room for things in the trunk of the Hemi Cuda, but you could throw a pack of plastic sporks in there and it would be fine. Or one metal spoon for everyone.
Maybe. Well, that's not sanitary. Also,
I'm sorry, cooking them in the crematorium is?
I mean, at least it was in the can. It wasn't like the beans were just there, like, on the actual, like, grill part. That would have been impossible anyways, but still. You're right, it's not. It's not. They weren't thinking about it. They were hungry. And that's, I'm trying to really think, is that the only time we ever see anyone eat in these damn movies? Because there's no time to eat.
I think
the
so,
the tall
yeah.
man is after your ass, and you don't got time to eat. Reggie out here just throwing ice cream at people, like.
And also, Reggie has a lot of money just to throw around.
He sure fucking does. I think he's just robbing people from town to town. And when I mean robbing them, they're dead or, like,
yeah,
they're
you
not
go
even
into
there.
You go into the house, there's no one around, yeah. You find a box with money in it, like, oh, well, this is funding our expedition to kill the tall man.
And a lot of people didn't trust the bank back then, so yep. A lot of people had money, especially in those old, those small towns like that. People yep. kept money in the weird cigar box.
Or maybe he just went into one of the banks there and they were like, oh, well, they killed everybody in the town, but they did leave the money behind, so.
That's very true. Never thought about that. Which is why he don't got a job.
Left money behind in the stores. Yeah, he just get the money out of these places and then just spend it. Because you see, it's a cash life for Reggie. He's out handing out $100 bills wherever he goes.
Yeah, at one point he, you know, once he rescues Tim from a terrible, disgusting gang of hooligans.
Who drive around in a pink hearse.
Oh, God.
That's never explained.
Yeah, no. Just terrible people. He's like, okay, he's going to drop him, which I'm like, where did he even find this lady? But okay. Some lady in the town, she had taken in all the kids that, you know, were
orphaned. Yeah, she's like on the outskirts of town. She's like, oh, yeah, the kids all just wander down here, and I've taken them all in. Have you thought about calling the authorities at some point?
There ain't no authorities. There's nobody. Who should have called the FBI? Like, there's no
one
there.
Yeah, I call someone and go,
Scully and Mulder were going to come.
Maybe we should go look into this town over here where all these wayward children just keep showing up at my house. Because I tell you what, like, the first kid knocks on the door and is like, please, sir, I have nowhere to go. Well, let me call some social services and get you taken care of. Because you're not just moving strange children into my house.
No one is social because everyone is dead.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no police, there's no firefighter, there's nobody.
But then, like, what is this woman doing for a job? She got 9 kids out there in the middle of this house, in the middle of nowhere. They all seem to be eating and enjoying life, but where's all the money coming from?
That's why when Reggie gave her the money and he pulled away, thought that he left Tim behind with the lady, and the lady sees as Tim is in the trunk, she does not stop Reggie at all.
She just smiled and tucked that money into her pocket.
She sure did, because she desperately needed that. And the second I found that kid was in the trunk, I would have whipped my ass around and got a damn refund, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to need the money back.
But then again, like you said, he didn't really need it because he's out, you know, taking all the money from the banks.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So that's how he's surviving, you know? The tall man, on the other hand, he doesn't eat. He doesn't do anything. He's an alien. We don't even see him. He's not doing a damn thing. He's just out there killing people, like telling the grave robbers to rob the graves.
Look, it's a rough job. Somebody's got to do it.
You know, but you never, if you're someone that needs some kind of closure, you need some answers, these are not the films for you. You're not going to find an answer. I don't remember what happens in Ravenger. I immediately deleted that movie the second the credits rolled. I was like, I was a waste of my life. So I deleted that. I don't know what happened. But you're not going to find out why the tall man's doing this. What's the purpose? What the hell is actually going on with Mike?
Yeah, Ravenger's just going to give you a bunch of different possibilities. Maybe it's all happening. Maybe Reggie's insane and has imagined all this in his mind this whole time. Who knows? You by the end of Ravenger, you're not real sure.
Yeah, that's a damn shame. Also, like, you spent all your time on that, and this is what you came up with? Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, and Ravenger, weirdly enough, is the only one not directed by Coscarelli.
Well, I have no comment on that. I have no comment. Now, when you, at this time frame, you did see this in the theater.
No, I didn't see this one in the theater. I saw this one when I didn't get to make it up to St. Louis to see it, so I saw it back when it came on home video. I was working at Hastings at the time, and we would get, like, you know, things saying, oh, like, Phantasm's coming. And something I really wanted from this, and I was never able to get one of them, one of the promo items for this was a Phantasm 3 clock, where the hands were the little knives that come out of the spears, the sentinels that go around. Okay. The turnaround. I always wanted to get one of those, but I was not able to do it. And I did have, like, we got a, when Lost in Space came out, they sent a bunch of the promo clocks. It was the Lost in Space, like the robot with those a clock and all that. So I got that one, but I was never able to get the Phantasm one. And I was always kind of disappointed by that because that would have been a really cool, like, souvenir thing to have kept.
What was the background? Was it a sentinel or?
No, it was like the tall man holding the ball.
Oh.
And then he had the hands, like, moving around on it. So
that's pretty dope.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I would love to have had that. But you can locate them now on eBay. They're only a couple of $100.
Oh, I'm sure. And they probably don't even work.
Yeah, probably not. But, yeah, that's just one of those things that, like, I was always like, can I get my hands on one of those? We got other promo items, but for some reason, we never got a copy. We never got the clock.
Now that I think about it, when I'm saying, like, the popularity or, like, the love that Phantasm people have for it, J.J. Abrams
Yeah.
Love the film, and he actually was the whole, like, driving force between, like, the 4K restoration for the first film,
yeah, because, right? He loved it so much.
And then he even loved it so much that that's why he named her in the Captain new movie Phantasma.
Yeah, and then her armor is silver.
Yeah, her armor just literally just looks like the Sentinel.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty cool homage to, or nod to the films. But, yeah, imagine. I don't know how old he was when he saw the film, but that would be pretty... If I had seen that film when I was, you know, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old, I would be like, that would be a pretty cool film to watch. I think it's because I'm desensitized, because I've seen it. Mm. Like, Halloween. Like, I'm not obviously getting scared about Halloween anymore. I put that in, like, that's, like, my comforting, like, I'm going to wash, you know, some dishes, and I just have, like, Halloween in the background.
No, I didn't see... The original one in the theaters, the Phantasm in the theaters, because I was like 8 when it came out.
Yeah.
But I do remember going to the drive-in and seeing previews for it, and it being creeped out by the previews of it, because it was just the creepy trailer of, like, the Phantasm. Like, they do a lot of words like Phantasm, and it explains what that means, and then you saw, like, the creepy scenes of, like, the, you know, them in the mortuary, and the thing with, like, being pulled through the little dimensional gate and everything, and the tall man running around. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And it was one of those Red Band trailers that I saw too, so it did have some blood and stuff in it, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was a thing. That was the first time I remember seeing a trailer that freaked me out, because it had blood and stuff in it, and I was like, oh, okay. I have no idea what movie I saw at the drive-in that they advertised this, but I just do remember seeing that trailer at the drive-in.
This would be pretty cool to see it at the drive-in.
Yeah.
This is a good drive-in movie, because if, like, you're already outside, I would say, like, 75% of the film, you're driving, you're outside, the atmosphere matches,
yeah.
You know, you're in a car, they're in a car.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun to see this, yeah.
Or in a mausoleum. I wonder if they've done that. That sounds like some shit fucking California would do.
Well, I'm California sure they've probably shown this.
In the freaking Hollywood Cemetery.
I'm sure they've probably shown this there somewhere.
Pretty amazing.
Now, one of the things, I may have mentioned it before, that when that movie Leviathan, they showed it at the pool when I was in college.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That way they had, like, a screen above the pool where you could just, like, float in the water and watch the thing. And it was like, that was kind of a neat thing, because you're actually floating on the water during an aquatic horror movie. That was fun. And I thought it would be cool to, you know, like you said, show Phantasm in a mortuary. That would be pretty cool. Or, like, in a cemetery would be fun.
Yeah, I would be fucking creeped out.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe there's, like, a grave, like, that has, like, you know, it's dug up.
Just sitting there looking very suspicious and convenient.
Yeah, yeah. Part of the thing, obviously, like somebody's really in there.
No, we're not,
like,
going to dig anybody up for real.
No, we're not digging. We're not the tall man. We're not one of the grave diggers. We're not out there doing that. But that would be pretty neat to see. I can't believe it's been... I mean, God, 30 years just went by so fast.
Yeah.
I can't even... I would have loved to have seen this in the theater, just because in the midnight, before Scream, there was... And my perception on it is going to be different from yours, because you were more of an adult at that time, and I was not. But I feel like horror films in the theater, not direct to video, there weren't a lot of them. It was kind of like, ugh, a horror film. It wasn't like how it was, like, maybe, like, in the 80s, and then after Scream, where it was like, oh, there's a new horror movie coming out, you know, and everyone's, like, excited about it, and people weren't just, like, bothered or, like, annoyed, you know, because horror at one point, I feel, got, like, not a bad rap, but people just didn't care, and they were just, like, annoyed by it. That's my perception on it. How it was just, like, it was, like, low grade, like, ugh.
I feel like after Silence of the Lambs came out, everybody stopped doing, like, horror movies, like, things like Graveyard Shift and Phantasm and stuff like that, and everything shifted to serial killer movies. Because they're like, ooh, if we can do this kind of scary, creepy movie and it gets a critical acclaim, we're going to try to make our own. And all you got a glut of the imitators of all that. And all these movies that we used to get in theaters, like Phantasm 3 would have gone to the theaters, went straight to video. Things like if it had even come out a couple years after that, I don't think Candyman would have probably gone straight to the theaters either. It would have probably gone straight to video.
Hmm.
But, you know, there were some things like Candyman and... I'm trying to think of another one off the top of my head, but I can't. Like, Candyman was a big one that came out in the early 90s that, you know, really influenced a lot of people. But it didn't... You know, it wasn't for years that a sequel to that came out even, you know, so...
And that should just have stopped right there as number one.
But, yeah, it's... The 90s was kind of a wasteland until Scream came out, and then for a while there was just Scream copies, but...
Yeah, after Scream, we were just inundated with, like, horror was alive again, and there was just so much of it, like, and then it became, and I don't know who made this decision, I mean, obviously, you know, the houses, but I don't know who exactly was like, you know what, these movies, because of Scream, need to have recognizable... Or just brand new, fresh teen faces. Like, there were so many movies with teenagers.
Yeah.
And they were coming out, man. It was just like one after... I feel like once a month there was a new fucking movie coming out that had a Jennifer Love Hewitt or...
Well, I think they realized that, like, you know...
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
In the 80s, they had all these, like, unknown actors that, like, no, they weren't necessarily... It was the movie... It was the idea of Nightmare on Elm Street that was drawn in. Nobody knew who Johnny Depp was at the time. Yeah. You know? But then I think they thought, you know what? These people have already got, like, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar is already on a hit show that people like.
Of course. So they're going to draw. They're going to be drawn to the theater.
Let's pull all these people into it. Same thing, like, even with Urban Legend. You've got people from Smallville, people from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
You know, people like Tara Reid. I don't think American Pie had come out yet, but she was...
No.
But, like, what's her name? Elisa Witt was in there, and she had been on some stuff.
It was even like Danielle John Harris Hughes.
Showed up in that, you know?
Yeah, it was a John Hughes, like, of horror.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you have, like, the rat, not the rat pack, but the brat pack, you know, and it they were just gonna be in different things, and then, you know, they were all over the place. Man, there were so many of them. And then it just became... Like, oh no, like this again.
Yeah, and that died off fairly quickly.
And then here we are.
Yeah, I feel like the last big example of that with like a person being in from one of those like WB TV shows or whatever was Jessica Biel in the Texas Chainsaw remake. I feel like after that they kind of hit it and went, all right, we've reached the limit now. After that they went back to feel like they went back to looking for more unknown people.
Yeah. Yeah, because it just, you don't want to have to pay these people either.
Yeah.
Like, because then they come in like, oh, well, people know me. Like
that inflates your budget already. And they were trying to make a cheap horror movie to begin with, and then they ended up spending more on it than they thought.
Yeah. So.
So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to rate Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead, 3 knives.
Ah, okay. We have to rate this? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know. It's like no rating. I'm gonna rate it 1.5 knife.
Wow, savage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope I never have to see these movies again.
Well, listen, the 30th anniversary of Part 4 won't be coming up for 4 years, so you won't have to see it for at least 4 years.
I got 4 years of nice and calm, you know, non-Phantasm life. What's your favorite Phantasm movie, guys? Let us know anywhere and...
On the comments of any of the numerous posts you see for this, let us know what your favorite Phantasm movie is. Are there a lot of Ravager fans out there?
And why are you a Ravager fan? I'm just curious. No judgments.
Hate Ravager, but I did have some issues with it. But
I fell asleep, so I can't.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite Phantasm is. Let us know who your favorite character is. We'd love to know. Reggie seems to always be the fan favorite, but who out there, you know...
Maybe there's a Jody fan. Maybe there's a Mike fan. Maybe there's... Maybe someone's just out there for the Sentinel.
Yeah, whose favorite character is the Silver Ball?
Yeah.
That's just like...
Who's the Silver Ball? Yeah, because it didn't have a name for the first two first movies. Two
didn't have, yeah, they didn't really say it. It was just the spear or the silver ball or whatever. They even in the trailer for it, they just said the ball is back.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I guess once you, like, you know that it has a brain in it, you gotta call it something. It's just not a floating ball. There's more to it. Which makes sense, because how would he control it? You know, I guess in this one, you get more meat. You get a little bit. It's like, oh, we have a puzzle. There's only one piece on the puzzle board. We found two. And this one is like, here's some more pieces that fit together.
We'll give you 20 pieces of the 100-piece puzzle now.
Yeah.
You now know what one corner looks like.
But that's it.
Good luck. You will not find out anymore.
Good luck. I wonder what Angus Grimm thought about these films. Not so much what he thought about them, but like what his, you know, actors come in with their own ideas and how they want to play the role and like where his mind was like. Or he was just like, I'm just taking the money and running. You know, my whole $50.
Well, you know, he was just friends with Don Coscarelli, so I think he just did that as a favor to him and probably just kept doing it as a favor to him.
I love Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I don't have anything against Don Coscarelli. I love a good old indie film. Like, hello, Halloween. Like, where would we be if we didn't have these, you know, independent films? And a lot of them are the best ones. It's just, I'm someone that I kind of just need... It depends on the genre, but if you're going to say, like, this is an alien, like, I need to know what is the purpose of this being. Like, what's the end game, you know? Phantasm 4, end game. You know, that's... There you go. I'm just going to rename all the Phantasm movies. The revelation for this one was, the cat was already out the bag. That was a revelation.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty cool. I think, actually, that's the coolest thing in the whole fucking movie. Besides the girl getting her whole fucking face blown off by the Sentinel.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, where it's just like a gaping hole that goes straight through her face. And it's just like a... And I love when there's like steam, like when there's like the smoke.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it was moving so fast.
Yeah, that's great. Is when you look at Mike and his eyes...
Are changing.
They're like silver, like the ball. Like they look like lead. That shit is cool. I wonder how they did that.
See, it'd be cool, like if they in part four had picked up and Michael was starting to get like tall man abilities, and you find out like he was like going to be the leader of the resistance against the tall man from those people.
Mm.
Like we want to be. There's a group that wanted to be benevolent and not bother people. There's a group that wanted like he was maybe going to be the leader of that. Do something would have been cool.
Yeah. Or, like, maybe the tall man was doing all this to, like, revitalize his species. Like, he was...
Yeah, we never really found out what their end game was, why they were doing this.
No, we never did. But, oh, well, it is what it is, and here we are. And, you know, was it all a dream? It could all be a dream. I guess it's just up to your own interpretation. The end. Thank you so much for joining us in this 30th anniversary episode of Phantasm 3 Revelations. Just kidding. Phantasm 3. Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead. Stay tuned to the horror.